The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ and guide you into all truth. That is the message I have for you today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue this verse-by-verse Bible study in the Gospel of John, we're in John chapter 16. Let's start it off, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. What powerful words we have here in John chapter 16. This is a powerful chapter, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the Holy Spirit. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to his followers. He loved them. He knew time was short for him. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew that he was going to be killed. He knew he would be raised from the dead again. So here he's speaking to them. Keep in mind that for several years, his followers, his closest disciples, you know, they saw the miracles. They saw him raise the dead. They saw the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. They saw him quench storms and so on. So they saw the power of God manifest through him. But he also knew that he was going to die, and he knew that this would affect them greatly. So now he's ministering to them. He's telling them things that are going to happen to them. And he's doing this for a reason. He wants them to remember, look, you're going to be persecuted. You know, they're going to put you out of synagogues. And some of you are going to be killed. And those who kill you will think that they're doing God a service. And ladies and gentlemen, you could take this right down all the way through the centuries during the time of the Reformation. Before that, you know, when Christians were killed, Christians, true born-again believers, were put to death by the Church of Rome. They thought that they were doing God a service. Can you believe this? The madness of the Church of Rome, putting people to death, torturing them. And Not a few folks, but by the millions. There were multitudes that were put to death by the Church of Rome, burnt at the stake. Can you picture this? People being put tied to a stake, straw being put at their feet, wood and so on and so forth, and then they light it. They torch that wood, they burn it, and they watch human beings being consumed. And they thought that they were doing God a service. Can you imagine this? They thought that they were serving God. This scripture fits the Church of Rome perfectly. So here's the Lord warning his own disciples. They, as I said, they saw the greatness of Jesus Christ. They saw all the miracles, but now they were going to be faced with his death upon the cross. And what do you say? And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. The people that would be persecuting them and killing them, in, as I said, the Church of Rome, they didn't know the Father. They didn't know the real Jesus Christ. Religiosity was the deal. So the Lord's warning his own. He knows that there'd be a great temptation to apostatize. That's what he's doing here. So he's encouraging them. And when you think of Stephen, you look in the book of Acts, you know, how he was put to death. All he did was preach the truth to his own Jewish people. I mean, his face was like the face of an angel, and they killed him. So this is what the Lord is doing here. Let's go to verse 4 now. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. So there again, he's telling them, I'm telling you that, so when the time comes, just remember that I told you of them. In other words, remember that I told you these things would happen, okay? So he says, I'm going my way to him that sent me. What's he talking about? He knows he's going to the cross. So he's going back to where he was before. He's going back to the Father, to the one who sent him. Oh, yes. So keep that in mind, folks. Deity of Christ, he was sent down from above. You're going to see in the next chapter, chapter 17, well, you'll see how Jesus talks about going back to the glory that he formerly had before he came into this world. So he had glory with the Father before he was sent into this world. So remember that the Lord is encouraging his own people. And that's what he wants for the people of God, all of us folks. You know, he wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to press on in the Lord. We're living in a sin-cursed world, ladies and gentlemen. We know the Lord, but we're living in a world where most people do not want anything to do with the Lord. You know, many people cannot understand why we even serve the Lord. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So, you know, the unsaved people in the world, this is what this is talking about, the natural man, they cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness. They think you're fools for serving the Lord. They can't understand why, because these things are only understood by the Spirit. They're spiritually discerned. That's why many times the unsaved are so cocky and arrogant toward the Christians, because they can't see, they can't understand the things of God, ladies and gentlemen. Remember in John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So we, as Christians, you've been born again of the Spirit, and the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he will bring things to remembrance. He comforts the believer in the midst of a world that wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ. In verse 7, back to John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So, as I said, the Lord knows that he's about to die. He knows he's going to be killed. He'll be slain upon the cross. And as he goes, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to be ascending back into heaven, and he's going to be pouring out the Spirit of God. This is what he's talking about here. It's good that I'm going away. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And even in the Old Testament, folks, you could see the mention of the Spirit of the living God. Remember, David in Psalm 51, that's like a psalm of repentance when he was repenting of his sin. In verse 11, he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." You see that? How could you be worried about taking the Holy Spirit from him if he didn't have the Holy Spirit? So you see that? And let me show you something from Isaiah chapter 63, where I'll talk about how the Holy Spirit is mentioned here. Let's go to verse 7. It says, "I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie." So he was their Savior. Verse 9, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them." Let me just stop there before I continue. So we see the beauty of God, the love of God toward his own people, the children of Israel. And then it talks about how we redeem them and bear them, carry them all the days of old. Verse 10, but they rebelled and they vexed his Holy Spirit. Do you see that? So here's the children of Israel vexing the Spirit of the living God. Folks, there's only one Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit I'm talking to you about today is the same Holy Spirit that the children of Israel were rebelling against. They were vexing the Spirit of the living God. And what does it say? Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. Who's that talking about? Talking about Almighty God. You see that, folks? So this is not a light thing. No, go to verse 11. It says, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name? Wow, that's powerful. So it's talking about Moses. He was the shepherd of the flock. God used Moses. It says, where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Within who? Within Moses. Do you see that? The same Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. You got to understand this, folks. So it says, then that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them. What's that talking about? Opening up the Red Sea, that great, awesome miracle. When God redeemed his people, he brought the children, hundreds of thousands of children of Israel, through the Red Sea. Oh, yes. Can you imagine this? He opened the Red Sea. They went through that sea, folks, on dry ground. You know, picture yourself putting on your sneakers, your whatever, your basketball sneakers. They went through, you would have had no mud on your sneakers, folks. That's the awesomeness of that miracle. And that's what I want you to see there. So there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. Back to verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So this is talking about the Holy Spirit, what he does. Now keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force. So it says, of sin. Why? Because they did not believe in him. Do you realize that it is a sin to reject Jesus Christ? Now, the Jewish people, they had the scriptures, and yet they rejected the very one of whom those scriptures, those same scriptures, prophesied about. So it's a sin, right there, of sin, because they believed not on me. So the Holy Spirit is going to convict people of their sin. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. The Lord would be killed. He'd be slain on the cross, but he's going to get up from the dead. He's going to ascend back from where he came from. What does this prove? It proves that he was the righteous one, ladies and gentlemen. It proved that everything he said was true. He said, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to raise it back up again. Over and over he said that. He said, destroy this temple. Speaking of the temple of his body, I'm getting back up again. It proved that he was righteous of judgment, because the prince of the world is cast out. So the death of Jesus Christ was a victory over the devil. It was a victory over Satan. Christ died for us. He took on human flesh, but he was without sin. So the prince of the world is speaking about the devil. That's who that's talking about. John 12:31. It says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's talking about Satan. Oh, yes. So this is very interesting, folks. Keep in mind, folks, the unsaved are walking in darkness. If you're out there today, you're just wondering, maybe I should give my life to Christ. You know, I don't know about this stuff, if it's true. Right now, you're without the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. If you were to die in that condition, you'll die in your sins. You will end up in hell. So the devil don't want you to hear this, by the way, what you're hearing here today. You need the Holy Ghost. So if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the God of this world is the devil. So the prince of this world, same one, Satan, the devil, the prince of this world, the God of this world, talking about him. Same one, the wicked one, Satan, the evil one. So he doesn't want you to know the truth that you're hearing here today, that you need Christ, that you need to be born again, that you need the Holy Ghost inside your heart. He don't want you to know that. He'll let you go on through this life, even be very successful, but without the Holy Ghost, you'll still die in your sins. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will, no matter who you are. No matter how famous you might be, does not matter. God is not a respecter of persons. God will not show partiality. That's why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, to get right with God before it's too late. So keep that in mind. The God of this world is the devil. He's the prince of this world. He will keep your mind blinded as long as he possibly can. He doesn't want you to know the truth. Oh, yes. In fact, sometimes you might one day say, I'm going to try to dig into this Bible, and all of a sudden you find yourself getting distracted, and you start putting up, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'm going to get into the Word. I'll do it later. That's the devil, you see. The devil's today is tomorrow. It never comes. He'll keep you doing that for the rest of your life, and then it's over. Oh, yes, it's over. In fact, it was a terrible accident not far, probably a couple of minutes right from here, a few days ago. A horrible accident. People were broken bones. One young lady, I think is 16 years old, killed. It was horrible. I mean, and that's how quick it happens, folks. That's how quick your life could be snuffed out of this world. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I want you to see, I'm doing this for a reason. I want you to see the victory that Jesus Christ had over the devil. Okay, the reason he took on human flesh. Okay, so he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He knew he was going to the cross. He came into this world to die for us, that he should taste death for every man. Verse 14, Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him, that's the devil, that had the power of death, that is the devil. Oh, yes. So the beauty of the sacrifice of Christ, he took on human flesh, folks, for one reason. Came into this world for one reason, that he might rescue wretched souls like me and you. Wretched souls, folks. This is why you need to understand this. This is the love of God. The reason he came into this world, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he was not sinful. He had no sin. He came because of his love for you, his love for me. That's why he did that, folks, that you can partake now in the victory of Jesus Christ over death. He had no sin. So by the Spirit of the living God coming into you, folks, you are now one of his children if you believe. This is the beauty of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I want you to see that. This is victory. This is victory, ladies and gentlemen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, it says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Oh, yes. So once again, this flesh and blood body, folks, you're not jumping into heaven. You know that. You know, when a person dies, they have a funeral. They'll have a wake. They'll lay that body out, okay? The real person is not inside that fleshly body anymore. The real spirit is somewhere that took off, okay, at death. So they're either in torment or to be absent from the body is present, be present with the Lord. You read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31 about the rich man, he went to hell. And then Lazarus, he was in paradise. Hallelujah. And that's the promise for the believer, folks. That's how important it is. Romans 7:18, the Apostle Paul said this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." He's basically saying, in and of ourselves, folks, we're nothing, we're wretches. But the Spirit of the living God inside us, we put to death the things of the flesh as we're walking inside this world. So back to John 16, verse 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." So, once again, another reminder, the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, look at how many times in just this one passage from verses 12 down to 14, look how many times you see the word he or himself being used. So I counted them. And the word he is mentioned 8 times, the word himself once. So just in that passage, you got 9 different times that we learn that we're talking about a person. It's a he. You see that? It's a he, not a force like the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, folks. It's a he. It's not a female. It's not the good witch from the Wizard of Oz. It's a he, part of the eternal triune Godhead. Now, the Watchtower Society, Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is deity equal to God the Father. Absolutely not. In fact, they talk about him being Michael the Archangel and so on and so forth. So I'm telling you today, folks, that Jesus Christ is equal to God the Father. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost will show you these things, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go to verse 15 in John chapter 16. Jesus talking, he said, "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Oh, yes. So the Lord, as I said, he knew he was going to be crucified. And he knew he was going away. And at this point in time, the disciples did not quite understand what he was trying to say. If you look at verse 17, "Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith." So they were perplexed. They were discussing. They didn't understand that he was talking about being killed, being raised from the dead, ultimately ascending back to see the Father. And that's why Jesus now, he says in verse 19, "Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." So he's letting on to them, folks, that the world is going to be rejoicing. Why? Because Christ was about to be killed. And they, the closest followers of the Lord, they would be weeping. Oh, yes. So as I said before, here they're walking with the Lord for several years, and they saw the miracles, all the miracles, the raising of the dead. And now they'd be heartbroken beyond words. I mean, here's the Savior. Here he is up on the cross, brutally killed. And now he knew what was going to happen. Oh, yes, that's what he was talking about. He knew that there would be weeping, that there would be lamenting, and that the enemies of Christ, they would be rejoicing, and you're going to be sorrowful, but your sorrow will ultimately be turned into joy. When he rose from the dead. Oh, yes, there'd be rejoicing. Oh, yes, and that's exactly what took place. You'll see that as we continue through this study, ladies and gentlemen. So, verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. That's what that's about, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, a woman that's about to give birth is great pains, labor pains, extremely difficult sometimes. But when the child is born, they hand the child to the mother, and the pain is soon forgotten. Oh, yes, soon forgotten. But because of the joy of bringing a child into the world. And now the Lord's using that to compare it with his being raised from the dead, that they would have joy. They'd be weeping, but joy was about to come. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about there. Verse 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Give it you. Hitherto, or up until now, have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So he's talking about after he's risen from the dead, ascends back into heaven, we can now pray to the Father, the Spirit of the living God within us. We can call upon God. We come in the name of Jesus. He's the only mediator. No more praying to Mary. Put those rosary beads down just like I did, folks. There's only one mediator. His name is Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was sent down from above? Do you believe that he was God manifest in the flesh? Do you believe that? That's what I ask you today. Perhaps you're listening, you don't know the Lord, you're just listening out of curiosity. But it says here that the Father loves us. He loves the believer. Why? Because we love Christ. We love the Son whom the Father sent into the world. Oh, yes. So you see the distinction once again. Jesus always did that. He made a distinction between the Father and himself. Oh, yes, he did. And that's what I want you to see. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. So, again, he's saying, look, I came from the Father into the world, and now I'm about to leave the world. He's about to be killed. He's going to be crucified. He'll be away for 3 days, buried. But then he's going to rise from the dead, ultimately return to go to the Father. That's what he's talking about. So now the disciples are starting to understand and says, oh, now you're making this clear. You're speaking plainly. You're not speaking a proverb. So verse 30, they say, now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? So now think about this. What they said was good, and they meant it from the heart. We're sure that you know all things. That's the truth. And we know that we don't need any man should ask thee. By this we believe you came forth from God. They knew he came forth from God. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, do you now believe? Okay? So they said, we're sure You know all things. That's talking about omniscience. We know you came from God. All excellent truths, ladies and gentlemen. But Jesus said, you know, do you now believe? In verse 32, he says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the Lord knew what was going to happen. You know, if you'll see, we talk about the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came, that band of men, and they came with their clubs and so on and so forth, and the disciples, they were scattered. They all took off. So this is what the Lord has told. That's why he said, do you now believe? So, you know, serving the Lord, you know, sometimes it's easy to say, you know, I believe. But he's basically telling them, your faith is going to be tested. So when they came, they were all scattered. Oh, yes. And that was actually a fulfillment of prophecy. If you take a look at Zechariah, Old Testament book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 7, it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. So what happened, and you'll see that they would all be scattered. They would all take off. But the Lord isn't still, he's still encouraging his people. Okay? He says, the Father's with me. I'm not alone. There's another proof. You know, we're talking about a distinction. You know, those people that say Jesus is the Father, he's the Holy Spirit, and he just manifests himself in different ways. We're talking about a distinction, okay? He says, I'm not alone. I am not alone because the Father is with me. Distinction between the Father and the Son. So the Lord is warning his followers. He says, you're going to have tribulation in this world. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he overcame the world. As we said, he defeated Satan. He will defeat him at the cross. He defeated Satan, ladies and gentlemen. That's the good news. So this is the Jesus Christ that we serve. So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will always glorify Christ. Oh, yes. Not going to have you talk about Mother Mary or Catholic saints or anybody else. Will always glorify Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. So when you see these other faith, so-called faiths teaching you this way, teaching you that way, run from it. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will always glorify Jesus Christ, and he will guide you into all truth. I'm going to leave it there. You be blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ.